This is Maryland Morning on 88.1. I'm Sheila Cast. Reuters news agency published its analysis last week of coastal flooding along the eastern seaboard. They tracked the average number of days several East Coast cities were above flood thresholds. At 34 days, the number one vulnerable coastal city is Annapolis. We want to know how the city of Annapolis prepares for floods, recovers from floods, and if Annapolis is experiencing an increase in coastal floods like so many other East Coast cities. Joining me now is Dave Mandel, Public Information Officer for the Annapolis Office of Emergency Management. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
To start, we asked Dr. Don Bosch, Professor of Marine Science and President of the University of Maryland Center for Environmental Science, what conditions lead to flooding in the city dock area of Annapolis. Here's part of what he said.
The average sea level has been rising over the decades, ever so much. And, of course, when you see a flooding event like this, it means that the weather conditions are causing the water levels to be higher than average. And that's usually a result of wind. Usually winds blowing up the bay from the south that push water up the bay. And so we have higher tidal water levels. The other thing, of course, which can influence that is a major hurricane. We had a hurricane coming up the coast that could drive water into the bay, raise the tidal levels. So those are the things, the wind events and tropical storms that affect these extreme water levels.
So, Dave, you've been working with the city's Office of Emergency Management for 4 years, right? Have you noticed an increase in flooding?
You know, flooding is something we deal with every day. It's something we think about every day because it's probably the one event that has the greatest impact day in, day out in terms of being in Annapolis. It seems that it's become very prominent in the last few years. If you talk to some of the old timers in Annapolis, they tend to tell you, you know, informally, they'll say, well, you know, we've always worried about flooding, but now it just seems like it comes more frequently than it used to.
And we've had some downpours recently, but heavy rain is not really the issue in flooding in Annapolis, right?
Absolutely. And that's a really good point to distinguish, is that a lot of people think heavy rain and think, well, okay, now I have to worry about flooding. In Annapolis, it's a little bit different because there's other kind of flooding from the tides. So you can have a cloudless day and a nice blue sky day, you know, just very much like we're seeing this week. And if the wind is just right and the tides come in at a certain time, you could have flooding downtown.
And how does the city monitor impending floods? What tools?
Well, you know, there are some great, actually, public sites that are available. The National Weather Service, they use something called the Advanced Hydrologic Prediction Service. So they've got a sensor, a gauge, right at the Naval Academy, and they publish the information online. You can Google it right now and find it. And it'll have the current water level. So several times a day, we're always checking the water level over there at that sensor, and we're constantly keeping track of any watches, warnings, or advisories that the National Weather Service is issuing for Annapolis.
And so at what point do you get concerned and spring into action? And when you spring into action, what do you do?
Great question. We start really getting concerned if the water gets about 3 feet or so, or 3.2 feet above what they call the mean lower low water level. Basically, I can explain what that means. There are two high tides every day, and there are two low tides every day. So the mean lower low tide, the lowest of the low tides. Once we get about 3 to 3.2 feet above the mean lower low water level, that's when the city dock, the parking lot right there, starts to flood, and 3.3 feet or so, the water starts to lap up a little bit against the some of the lower-lying businesses in that area. Also, we have Compromise Street is the main street we have that runs right along the water next to the harbor. And that will start to flood around 3.3, 3.4 feet. So at that point, we may have to close that road and reroute some traffic.
What are some of the other steps that that the city takes when waters are starting to rise?
Well, there are a lot of different levels of actions that we can take. If we're talking about the nuisance flooding, if it's 3.3 or 3.5 feet, we'll place barricades around the area so cars can't get through and get trapped. And that'll be the city dock, and that'll be Compromise Street, like I mentioned.
A lot of flooding, you sort of take in stride.
That's right. Sometimes there are different kinds of flooding, and the nuisance flooding is the kind of flooding we're talking about. If we're just at the level to make a disruption in the area, you know, close streets or maybe park further away, and that's not uncommon. That's different than what we think of as, you know, water rushing across the street and people having to get rescued in boats. That's another level entirely. And obviously we're concerned about that too, but.
And that's, in terms of numbers, you said the nuisance flooding, three and a half feet is nuisance.
I can see.
What are the numbers when you're rescuing people out of rowboats?
Well, if we think of, here's one way I like to put it into context. So we're talking about three and a half feet. Tropical storm Isabel back in 2003 was about 7.5 feet.
Double that.
And that flooded the market house, and that flooded a good portion of the lower level of downtown. So that's catastrophic. So I'd also like to mention as well that I'm talking about the specific instances that we engage into, the specific actions we take once it starts to flood. But flooding is something that we take into account in all the planning that we do because it's so prominent. We have an evacuation plan, for example, should that become necessary. We did evacuation workshops in May for city employees to show them how that works. We've got 7 evacuation routes and pickup points, and we could do a whole other segment on that. We've done hurricane workshops. In June, we did that as well. So the flooding really comprises quite a bit of the larger planning efforts that we engage in.
And what is the city doing by way of looking at ways to guard against flooding?
So one thing we've been experimenting with, actually, is backflow preventers downtown. So the idea is when this flooding comes up through it actually comes up through the storm drains. The tidal flooding comes up through the storm drains as opposed to the heavy rain, as I mentioned. Mm-hmm. So if we can place a valve that opens for the rain but closes on the other side to the floodwaters, that could really prevent a lot of disruptions. Also, even having a mitigation plan, it allows us to be eligible for federal mitigation funding. So after many disasters, I should say, certain federal mitigation funding becomes available only to communities that have certain mitigation plans approved. And Annapolis is one of those communities. So if, you know, an impact does occur in spite of the mitigation plan, having that plan in effect will allow us to get some assistance from the federal government.
I appreciate you talking to us. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Dave Mandel is the Public Information Officer for the Annapolis Office of Emergency Management. We've got more information on our website, wypr.org/Maryland Morning, including info on how to get the Prepare Me Annapolis app for smartphones. We also have more of our conversation about how coastal flooding is playing out in Maryland with Dr. Don Bosch of the University of Maryland Center for Environmental Science. Special thanks to our intern, Justina Latimer, for her production help with this interview. I'm Sheila Cast. Ahead on Maryland Morning, Dr. Carla Hayden on hot summer reads. Stay with us on 88.1.